Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is October 20th, and our reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, beginning in verse 1, Paul, in this passage, he's going to address some real practical stuff. Here's the first thing he says: never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to your younger men as you would your own brother. Treat an older woman as you would your mother. Treat a younger woman with all purity as you would your own sister. So the first thing Paul says is simply this: we've got to treat each other with respect. And again, when we read something like that, I think we always want to ask ourselves the question, is there anything in my life that keeps me from being respectful? You know, what's happening in my heart that creates that kind of situation? And how do I invite Jesus into that, right? So I want to make sure that it's easy to be respectful to other people. And when it's not, what's going on inside of me that I want Jesus to come in and heal and to change? Then I want to highlight a couple other things. In American culture, sometimes it's easy to disrespect our elders, right? And to kind of think, well, we're young and cool and tech savvy and enlightened, and we know something that they don't. And the truth is, our elders have tremendous wisdom to share with us. As our church ages and matures, and we have a growing population of older adults, I hope that they feel respected and valued, and to realize they have so much experience, life experience, and walking with God for so many years to pour into the younger people and the younger families in our church. So important. I also want to highlight this idea. He says specifically with younger women, not only do we treat them with respect, but in purity. So important. This has been a huge problem across every culture throughout history, right? We've got to relate to women with respect, to treat them like our sister, and to never, men, to never take advantage sexually or use our power or influence or position to take advantage or to mistreat them sexually, but to treat them with tremendous purity and respect. Again, the way you would your own sister. Now, again, real practical. Next, he's going to talk about our responsibility to our families. Watch this. Verse 3, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Then down in verse 8, those who won't care for their own relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Again, we have a responsibility, and this is so practical, right? To take care of our families. And so many times in American culture, we're expecting the government to take care of our families so that we don't have to take on that burden. And I understand that sometimes circumstances make it difficult for us or limit what we're able to do. But generally speaking, I have a responsibility with my parents, to love them, to serve them, to help them, especially as they age and need my help. A couple years ago, my mother fell and broke her kneecap, and she came into our home and lived with us for a year. And for a year, right, she was barely mobile, and we had to help her in and out of the bathroom, help her take showers, help her with basically everything in her life. And the truth is, it was our honor and privilege to do it. Why? She's our parent. I mean, that's what you do for your mom or your dad. We had to do something very similar to Tina's dad a few years ago when he got dementia, and we had to care for him very practically. And that's just kind of what you do as parents. And I think it's important to keep in mind that the way I treat my parents is the way my children are going to treat me one day when I get older, right? And so we just need to take care of them. Now, it also points to the fact, what's going on in our family relationships that makes that so difficult? And so many times families are, you know, they're just unresolved issues. And I would just say, let's invite Jesus again into those situations, into those relationships, to bring healing to our hearts and healing to those relationships. Now, notice what he says in verse 17. He says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. So at Definition Church, the elders are the ordained pastoral staff of our church. And he says, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox or keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And I just want to say, Definition has done an incredible job for years, ever since I've been here, 22 years, of paying our staff well, taking care of them, respecting them. And I think that's so important that we continue to do that. We're instructed to do it. And then watch this. And this is so relevant. Verse 19, do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it's confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. Great balance there. In the last few years, we've heard once again of a bunch of church scandals, abuse, cover up, right? Which often led to further abuse. And all of that is intolerable. What Paul is saying here is that when you're dealing with elders and you're dealing with pastors, that first, you shouldn't assume they're guilty just because somebody makes an accusation. There should be an investigation. There should be plenty of evidence. There should be more than just my word against his word kind of situation, right? So that's the first half. But then the second half is, he says, and if they are guilty, if this investigation does turn up evidence that they have mistreated somebody or done the wrong thing or broken the law or their theology's off, whatever the thing is, then they need to be corrected. And often that correction needs to be public. And often it means they've disqualified themselves from ministry. Because you remember in chapter 3, Paul says they've got to be above reproach. And so I just love this balance of, in the church, just because a person's in a position of power or a position of leadership, a position of influence, it doesn't give them a blank check at all. So we want to be careful not to just take the word and to assume a person's guilty because there's an accusation. We need to assume they're innocent till proven guilty. But then second, when they're guilty, we can't just cover it up, move them on to a new location, and allow them, enable them to continue abusing other people. We have a responsibility to hold them accountable. In fact, when they've broken the law or done something illegal, they need to deal with the legal consequences of that, just like anybody else, in order to protect the church. And that's what Paul says here. He says, if you do that, then it'll be a warning to everybody else. I can't abuse my position or my influence or the power that I have when I'm a pastor in a church. When you think about this chapter, it's so, so practical. Let's be respectful. Let's take care of our families. Let's make sure we take care of our pastors and staff who are serving us so well. And let's make sure that we manage this tension of leaders are being held accountable, but it's being done in a very fair and balanced way. When we do all of this, we're creating a church culture where everybody can thrive and prosper and grow and mature. And that's what the church should look like, a very healthy family. Man, that's what God's called us to do for everybody's benefit and blessing. Well, let's pray for the church. Father, thank you so much for the church, the body and bride of Christ. And God, I thank you for this very practical instruction. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to always fight for our church culture, to create a culture that's healthy and that encourages and helps everybody to grow and to mature. And Lord, we just invite you into our hearts. God, anything that would cause us to be disrespectful, to mistreat our family, to mistreat a pastor or staff, God, or to abuse power. God, I pray that we would just invite you. God, we're inviting you into our hearts. Lord, search our hearts and know us. God, bring healing and growth and maturity and transformation. God, we pray that the church would always be a safe, healthy place where we can all grow and mature in our faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.